go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. You know what? As we were coming into that interview, I really was listening to the words of that song, We Must Live While We Can, and I'm thrilled to have on the phone with us today. From Dakota County, we have Shannon Bailey. She is a public health coordinator, and she's a social worker behind the scenes, and we are thrilled to have her just tell us about how this is the pandemic is affecting our mental health and some of the wonderful resources that Dakota County has to offer. First of all, thank you so much for calling in today. How are you?
Hi, Mo. Thank you for the opportunity. I am doing just fine. I'm looking out my window. I see people walking still, and I'm recognizing that the days are getting longer.
Yes.
It used to be dark at this time of day. So we get a few more minutes every day.
You know
sunlight.
What? Can I tell you that's one of my favorite things to do also, is to count the amount of daylight we have, because that really can affect our mental health. I know we're going to talk about other things that can affect it, but there is something to be said about no sunlight, right?
Absolutely. There's all kinds of scientific evidence where we're located in this hemisphere really puts us at risk for seasonal affective disorder. It's real. We also know that people who get the lights that they can get prescribed by their doctors are effective in mimicking the sunlight that we're craving and missing during these long winter weeks and months. And also, I know that we have to take advantage of every opportunity to get out there. I went out at noon. It was still sunny today. I don't usually do this, but I went for a walk and I came back. It was just a glorious feeling. Our brains actually release hormones that replicate serotonin. Serotonin is a hormone in our brain that actually makes us feel good. It's a pleasure hormone. And so I had that feeling from going for a half an hour walk in the middle of the day today.
You know, that's really something that a lot of people don't take advantage of. But sometimes you say, oh, I'm too tired to go for a walk. But it really energizes you, doesn't it?
It really does. And again, there's lots of evidence that being physically active 30 to 60 minutes a day can be as effective as antidepressant medication.
So let's talk about mental health and how the pandemic has really affected people. It's a real thing, isn't it?
It is indeed. And, you know, I think as we turned the calendar to the new year, we might feel like we've been in this 10 months here in Minnesota, and it feels like we should be getting toward the end. And, you know, the truth of the matter is it's probably going to be 6 more months before we have herd immunity in the Midwest, where the majority of people, maybe 60 to 70% of people, are vaccinated. So we still have probably through the school year where we will be continuing to practice safe distancing. I imagine businesses will be opening. I think the governor has indicated that bars and restaurants are probably going to be opening up very soon because our numbers have fallen down a bit. But we still have to, you know, participate in all of the practices that the CDC has been recommending throughout the past year.
When we talk about the effects of mental health from something like a pandemic, is it the isolation, or what exactly is it? Is it our loss of freedom, or why are we having a negative impact on our mental health?
Sure. Thanks for the question. You know, mental health is really on a continuum. We all have episodes of good mental health, you know, after having a baby or a marriage or something that's really significant in our life. But we also, you know, have places throughout our life where we're falling more on the struggling end of the continuum, where we might be experiencing anxiety or depression or both. About 1 in 5 Americans live with diagnosed anxiety. It's the most common mental illness among children and adults in this country. It's very common. It's very treatable. Depression is also quite common in the United States for kids and adults, and it's highly treatable. About 85% of people who see their medical doctor, consider seeing a therapist or a counselor and looking at medication, the folks that participate in all those resources recover, which means they go back to their baseline of really functioning well. The way that we know that people are struggling with their mental health is when we see that they're less able to carry out their daily responsibilities at work, at school. And then another big indicator is they're less able to have at least one meaningful relationship that they participate in, that they're staying engaged with at least one other person. So if your loved ones seem to be showing indicators that they're not able to carry out their daily responsibilities and they're not able to stay connected to somebody, those are pretty big red flags that you need to have a conversation, take them to your family provider, your pediatrician, and begin to explore what's happening so that you can get them the support that they need to recover and feel good again.
And so what are the signs of anxiety versus depression? And does anxiety eventually lead to depression or vice versa?
There are a lot of symptoms that are similar. You know, one thing that I like to say to people is it's important to remember that emotions are fleeting experiences, just like the clouds that move across the sky. So when you have an emotion, it's not permanent. It's also not necessarily real. So if I have an emotion that people don't like me or I'm not good at this, that might be just my self-talk. It may not be real. So when we think about emotions, if people can think it's like a fleeting thought, that isn't necessarily real. In terms of depression, that's a physiological change in how we function. So it often includes sleeping more or the opposite, having insomnia and being unable to sleep. It's eating more or being unable to eat, for example. And so there are lots of indicators that we can look at that show us that this person is actually having a true medical experience that can be treated with medication. Depression and anxiety are medical disorders of how the brain is working. It doesn't mean that it will be like that forever. People who take medication often will only maybe have to take medication for 6 months, and their brain can kind of just get a restart, you know, control, alt, delete, and restart it and do well. But right now, with the winter time, this is a time when we'll see people really withdrawing, sleeping more, just really being pretty, you know, uninterested in being physically active. And of course, it's really hard because you can't be with our friends and loved ones. And so if your listeners are seeing that in the people they live with, the people they care about, it's important to name that and begin to ask people how they're doing. If you are concerned about somebody, you've noticed changes where they're not sleeping, they're not eating, they're not able to go to school or go to work, they've just maybe lost interest in the things that give them passion. So if your husband loves to collect things from different golf courses around the country, around the world, it's just his thing that he loves to go online and find archived things from different golf courses. That's his thing. And he's just tossed it in the garbage. He's not interested. When people lose what gives them a sense of passion and excitement, that's a big red flag. Here's the way that we need to address it. It's very important that we ask people, I'm concerned about you. It's important to describe what we've noticed. I've noticed that you are different in the way that you talk, the things I hear you say, or the way that I see you behave. I've noticed that you don't eat dinner with the family anymore, or that you just go up to your room to continue this conversation, say to them, I'm really concerned. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Very often, if you're talking to a young person, they might just give you the answer, I'm fine, or I don't know. And then what we do is we say to them, I'm concerned that you might be experiencing depression right now. Explain what that means to them and ask them, does that sound like how you might be feeling? If you're concerned about potential risk of suicide of your spouse, your father, we know that the people that are most at risk of suicide are men 50 and older. I'm really concerned about that as we're entering this new phase of a pandemic. I'm concerned all through spring into the summer with our men 50 and older. And if you're concerned about someone in that age group, it's very important to say, I'm concerned. Are you having thoughts of wanting to kill yourself? And give them a moment to think about it. Don't rush to have another sentence. Just simply say, are you having thoughts of wanting to kill yourself? Oftentimes when I've asked people, they shake their head. They don't necessarily say yes or no, but they nod their head, yes, I'm having those thoughts. And if they acknowledge, yes, that is what I'm thinking, my response has always been to say, thank you for having the courage to tell me this. Because now that I know what you're thinking, together we can get you the help you need to feel better. And so don't be afraid to ask. If the thought is entering your mind that you're concerned about someone who might be having thoughts of suicide, if you're thinking it, it's important to ask that question to the person.
You just gave us the courage to ask those hard questions, because that's got to be a very difficult topic to bring up.
You know, my experience, and I've been doing this a long time, for decades actually, when I've asked people, I've asked kids and adolescents and adults, people are relieved to have this secret or this thing exposed to the daylight. People are so relieved. I can tell their shoulders go down. Like they just take a deep breath, like someone has said it and now it's out there. And when we respond without shaming them or saying, you know, you shouldn't be feeling that way, when we say to them, tell me more. Right now, we know that a lot of people are experiencing distress related to unemployment and job loss, and really the fear that they'll never find another job where they have skills because, you know, maybe they're 45 years old and they think the millennials are all more skilled in that particular profession. We're seeing lots of our residents in Dakota County who are being evicted from their rental spaces or losing their mortgages. I talked to people just this weekend. I talked to a mother of seven. She and her husband live in one of the cities in Dakota County, and she was asking me for rent mortgage assistance information, and they're devastated. They just if it weren't for the pandemic, they would never be in this position where they're unable to pay their mortgage. And so I was able to walk through that process and give her the Dakota County Crisis Housing Hotline number. There's a lot of resources with CARES Act, with the federal CARES Act, that make monies available that wouldn't otherwise be available to help people. I've even had some families tell me that they've gotten 3 months of rent paid through the CARES Act. So it's important to not be afraid to ask, because right now there are resources that I've never seen available that are currently available to families.
Shannon, would you be so kind as to give us some of those resource contact information, please?
Absolutely. The Dakota County Housing Crisis Hotline, which is for renters and homeowners, is 651-554-5751. Another phone number that I think is helpful is Dakota County Employment and Economic Assistance. So this is financial assistance for families who are distressed due to job loss. And that phone number is 651-554-5611. the Dakota County Crisis Response Unit, which is available 24/7. It's local social workers who answer that phone live 24 hours a day, and that phone number is 952-891-7272.
I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk about some real tough topics, but important ones. And again, if people want to learn more, they can go to your website. I know that you have a whole page of COVID resources and then Mindful Minutes. Do you want to tell us about those, please?
Yes, absolutely. When the pandemic started, our communications team and myself together thought that we would create 1 minute little brief messages that we would send to employees in Dakota County weekly. And so depending on what was happening, because things changed throughout the pandemic, for example, when George Floyd died at the end of May, racial strife and disparities issue was compounding the issues related to the pandemic. And so the mindful minutes changed depending on what was occurring in the community. And our employees really loved them. Communications has been actively posting the weekly Mindful Minute messages on our social media channels to reach just the public throughout the community. It's just simple evidence-based tips, how to take a breath, how to be mindful, be aware of your circumstances to help regulate that stress response, that automatic stress response.
I want to say thank you for all of your insights today. Shannon Bailey, she is with Dakota County. She's in their public health world. She's a coordinator with them. Again, all these important phone numbers we will be sure and post on our KDWA Facebook page. Thank you for your time today, Shannon. I hope we can stay in touch.
Thank you. Take care.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Let's go.